So we couldn't make the show last week because this is a show where we talk to each other. And the reason we couldn't make the show last week was you actually literally could not talk.
Yeah, it took me. I couldn't really speak for a week. It was crazy. That's never happened to me before. My voice was just completely gone. It was so bad. I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad.
It was funny trying to, like, talk to you on the phone a little bit, and there would just be these, like, there would just be, like, whispers interrupted by little squawky squeaks.
I've never lost my voice like that. Ever.
Thanks for giving the people a yawn this early in the show.
Well, it is early in the morning. I've been awake for an hour, but that does not indicate that it is not early in the morning. It is quite early right now.
Yeah. Well, like, one thing which is nice is that, you know, there was a little feedback of like, wait, there's no show this week? There's no content? Like, where did you guys go? And that's the thing is, like, if we had made a show last week, it would have been me talking about some scripture and then you, like, squawking about some scripture.
I would have added
and
nothing.
It would have been really distracting.
It's funny. I know the moment that you say content, it's you're quoting Austin White. He's the only person who calls our show content.
Yeah.
Thanks for the content.
He's a true child of the internet age.
Yes.
In which spitting out that content is really the thing. It's really what matters.
That's right.
I think it would be really tough. I think it put you in a tough position because we're literally in a global pandemic, which is an airborne respiratory virus, and you couldn't speak, and so it's just like it had to freak everybody out around you. I mean, it was not COVID. You did not have coronavirus, but
no.
That had to be the thing that freaks. It's like what you have to do is tell everybody, like, don't worry, I don't have coronavirus, but you can't actually say that because you couldn't actually speak.
Yeah, no, I felt, we went camping, and that was the day it really struck me, and poor Rob had to share a tent with me. And I asked him on the way, I was like, dude, you wanna share a tent with me? And he was like, okay. And I could just read behind it. I was like, oh man, I'm so sorry.
Like, as he says that to you, he's texting Aaron, his wife, and just saying, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I'm about to do.
I'm
to
about
us.
To isolate on our back porch for a week. Don't worry. No, it was terrible. And then, like, I could not say words. It's the first time that's ever happened to me. And it was so random. I think it was allergies. It just took me out.
I think it was allergies too, but I love the idea of every single person that you're around being like totally, totally freaked out about you.
I know Maddie asked me multiple times. One of my favorite things right now is that if Maddie talks about COVID, she'll like put the 19 in about half a second later, and it's just really funny. You have COVID-19? It's so funny. One of her students asked her, she's like, why do you always have to say the 19? It's like, well, that's what it's called. Like, it's true. It's just so funny. She goes, do you have COVID-19? COVID-19?
It's like she wants to be super duper specific. This is not one of the previous COVIDs that we're
No,
doing.
It's not one of the previous coronaviruses.
Yeah. We're actually doing today's episode over a Zoom call because my family are kind of hunkering down right now, and we've taken a test. I don't think anybody has anything, but we're being cautious and we're trying to be respectful. And so, you know, I didn't ask Thomas to share a tent with me while we made this episode.
Mm. Yeah, it's bold of me. You know what did it to me? My mom's a nurse, so I called her and I was like, hey, mom, this is what's going on. I don't have a sore throat. I don't have headache. I don't have any sinus. I don't have anything. I just can't speak. And she was just like typical of my mom. When it comes to sickness as a child, I had no grace at all. It was you fought through it because it meant you weren't going to get it later. So that's what happened. So yeah. She was just like, oh, Thomas, not everything's COVID. I was just okay. I wasn't even asking if it was COVID. I just
19?
Yeah, 19. I just don't feel sick at all. I just can't speak. What do I do? Oh, it's not COVID. Okay. I get it.
That's not what I was saying.
Yeah, not what I was saying. But now I'm worried because you're so defiant.
Two things about that. One, do you think Becky listens to this podcast?
No, thankfully, and this is just a huge, I think this is a huge blessing in my life. My mom is not very computer savvy, which is kind of awesome, which means I don't get any posts about me on anything. Like,
that's nice.
I'm really she is not like,
she doesn't like post pictures of the Rosie O'Donnell phase on Facebook or anything like
that. No, she does not have a Facebook, which is just a blessing.
That's fantastic. Also, the one thing I would say is if Becky did listen to this show, she would listen to it absolutely religiously because she is such a routine person.
Yes, that's where I get it from.
The other thing that I think is interesting about you not being able to speak is you're just directly obeying one of your favorite songs from the 90s.
Yeah, this is Gwen Stefani. I just took on what No Doubt was saying.
Whenever I play my 90s playlist for my kids and No Doubt comes up, because my kids love that show, The Voice, and she's one of the judges, I guess. Mm. And I'm always like, guys, this is Gwen Stefani. And they're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, okay, fine. It's not. I guess you guys know.
She looks the same age now as she did then, which is amazing to me. I'm like, how are you?
Yeah, 25 years ago that song came out.
One time she was at Dollywood when I was there, and it was like a hunt to find her. Yeah, her and what's her husband's name? Blake?
Oh yeah, Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton. Shelton. I don't know celebrity names. But they were there.
That's like the day we were at Whole Foods and we heard that Keanu Reeves was downtown. And Thomas Wicklin lost his mind because he loves Keanu Reeves.
That's funny.
I didn't find him though. You don't remember that?
No.
That's so weird because usually I'm the one with the bad memory.
I just remember Halloran Hilton Hill being at Whole Foods one time.
He lives in Knoxville, so that's not really a big deal.
Right.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast, and we're going to talk about some scriptures. And we can actually do that this week because Thomas can speak.
Mm.
And he is back to his normal his normal vocal self. Can I kick us off?
Of course.
I want to read some verses from Psalm 52. And I think when I go back through the Psalms, I think about them in sets of 10 sometimes.
Okay.
And I think okay, I'm in the 50s. What happens in the 50s? And there's some things that stand out, you know, there's in my mind, Psalm 50, that's where the Lord talks about the cattle on a thousand hills are his. And Psalm 51, it's David, you know, confessing his sin. And Psalm 53 is the one where Paul borrows a lot of content. Here we go. Romans chapter 3, where he talks about how sinful everybody is. You know, there's certain things that happen. But as I was approaching Psalm 52, I remember thinking I don't remember this one very well. What happens in this Psalm? And he basically, it's another David Psalm, but he basically starts out by saying there are people who have a lot of power and have a lot of money and they boast about it. And they boast about how awesome they are and how much they win and their victories and they're evil. I mean, he says, why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? You think you're so awesome. He said, why do you boast all day long? And he says, you practice deceit. Your tongue plots destruction. It's like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good. You love falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. And there's this, there's this thing in me that was I was cheering David on as he was saying this. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot of that happening. People mm-hmm. that love lies, they love power, they love boasting about it, and they're just full of all kinds of evil and everything. And David is basically just saying, like, God is going to take you down, by the way, because you only trust in yourself. You didn't put any trust in God. You love power, you love winning, you love lying, you love evil, and you love bragging about all of that stuff all rolled up. And I look around and I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing some of that. I'm seeing some of that happening right now. And then at the end of this, David draws a contrast and he says, but I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. And I stopped immediately because I'm like, oh, this is the I'm an olive tree psalm. And I'm like, oh man, I love this. And I realized, like, whenever the last time I went through this psalm and kind of remembered again, like, oh, it's the olive tree psalm, I don't know that I really kind of dealt with it in the context of what he's saying. And so I was just thinking, I was just like, hit pause, think about what this means to be an olive tree. And the thing that I was realizing was, like, a flourishing tree doesn't have anything to brag about in itself, because a flourishing tree sends roots down, and a flourishing tree flourishes because of the sun, and it flourishes because of rain and falling onto the ground and going into the roots. It's like the sun and the rain. If a tree is flourishing, it has to be grateful. It can't ever brag. Everything that good that's happening to it is happening to it because of something outside of itself. Right? And so it was just like, oh, what David is like, David's looking at people who are powerful and who are liars and who are big winners and they think they're amazing. And he's saying, you didn't put your hope in God at all. And God is going to bring you down and you're bragging, but this is a temporary thing. And he's like, but I just want to be clear. I'm like a tree that's flourishing, and a tree that's flourishing doesn't have anything to brag about. A tree that's flourishing is just grateful, grateful for the sun and grateful for the rain. And so I was thinking about that, and literally the next phrase he says, but I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you. And I was like, oh, that's it. You know how, like, sometimes you'll stop yourself and think, like, what does this mean for me in this scripture? I'm not even going to read the next sentence. I'm just going to think about what this means. And I just thought about being a tree and being dependent on things outside of yourself in order to survive. And which was really interesting because it's been dry here for a few days, and like my little crepe myrtle, like, all the leaves just started sagging, and I was just thinking about how emo trees are, how extra they are.
Yeah,
like plants, if they don't get water for a few days, they look so sad.
Oh yeah.
And literally, if you put some water on them, they perk up so fast. And it's like, dude, you guys are so extra. Like, you're just so emotional, you know? And so I go out and water that little crepe myrtle, and boom, it perks right up. And just, so I was just thinking about that, and I was like, man, I think this is about dependency. I think he's drawing a line, talking about somebody who doesn't think they're dependent on God, who thinks they're amazing. And David's like, but I am dependent. And then literally the next thing he said was, I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. And that was just so enriching for me, because it's like, when I look around at the bragging and boasting and of the powerful right now, and how loud it is and how mean it is and how evil it is, the alternate to that can't be, but I'm just going to be amazing. Like, they're awful, and so I'm going to be amazing as a result. It's like, no. They don't depend on the Lord at all. So that's what I need to be.
Right.
I need to be the one who depends on the one who's outside of me.
That's cool. Yeah, it's funny, because part of this thing makes me sad about the world we live in today. And there's always been people who have been boastful and bragging about the wealth that they have and how amazing it is and all their power and all this stuff. I mean, that's just always been the case, but it's extra loud now because of social media and because of 24-hour news and because of all the stuff. And it makes me sad because this exists. And it's funny because a lot of those people are preaching from the same Well, they claim to be preaching from the same platform and book that we preach from. So it's so interesting that, like, that exists while this is here. Because it makes me sad. I'm like, yeah. Man, actually read the thing and you'll find out that you're a terror. You know, like...
Yeah, that book you say you love so much.
Yeah, it's so hard and it's sad. And it does make me thankful for my position, because to be a tree is completely dependent on something else. There's nothing you can do if you're a tree, you know? There's absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you, like, can't move somewhere else.
Right. Every part of it is so dependent on something. Like, if a tree grows naturally in the wild, it's because an acorn fell in the right spot that just happened to have room for it to grow, or a bird, you know, it left some excrement with a seed in a certain spot that it happened and no one picked it and whatever. Like, it's all completely dependent on all kinds of factors. And thankfully, we are one that is established and flourishing in the house of God. And it's so cool because we're dependent on Him to take care of us. We're dependent on Him to water us and to nurture us and to, you know, to, like, borrow stuff from the Gospels, to prune us and to trim us up and all that stuff. It's so cool that this is imagery that's used over and over again in the Scriptures. And it makes me thankful that it's here, and it's here with the verses that it's here with, that you started out with. Because it's like, man, I know what I want to be like, and now I know how to do it. Don't be a jerk about what you have. Don't brag about it.
Right. Just, and there's another thing that, you know, about this that I don't know that I thought about at the time, but you're helping me see it, that in the time of, like, just the weird time that we're going through, that, like, a tree has to stay put where it's planted. And so if you are in the middle of the woods, or if you're in somebody's yard, or if you're in a median somewhere, like, you've been planted there. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you have to live. We have to do this here. We can't be in another situation where we're not in the middle of this difficulty and confusion. We have to thrive right here. Mm. And we do that by continuing to trust in Him.
That's right. That's cool stuff. I've been reading through the book of Job, which is...
Dang, that's awesome.
Oh, it's awesome, man. The book of Job's amazing. It's so cool. It's so cool to watch him in his circumstances and him behave the way he does.
You said behave?
Behave. I don't even know if that exists.
Sounds like something from that Proclaimers song.
That's right. When I behave, but there's so many, there's also just, like, little cool nuggets in there. There's these little moments where Job gets insight into things. Hey, did someone just drop something off next to you?
What?
I thought I saw someone else's arm enter the picture. That was so confusing.
That would be so... Dude, if there is, that means that the church is haunted, which, you know, that I've had some issues with this before.
Yeah, that's a...
In the... Well, it is... The 16 years that we've had this building.
It is 70-something years old, so, you know... That is old by Oak Ridge standards.
But I also like the idea of you starting a TV show, or like a spinoff podcast, T. Cox's Bible Nug Nugs, just little nuggets. Like, you're talking about Job is amazing, but also there's just these little nuggets.
Yeah, there are, but there are these moments where you're like, man, he gets some insight into something that's so cool. You know, because people claim this is the oldest book of the Bible, and he has this moment, like this thing I'm about to read right here, where it's so interesting and it's so cool. And there's other parts. I'm in Job chapter 9, and then there's other bits too where he, like, there's one part where he mentions Leviathan, and you're just like, what? And then he talks about snow melt causing rivers to swell, which you're just like, that's cool. You're in Mesopotamia. Or, like, you know, like, whatever the thing is. Like,
who told you that?
Yeah, or ice caps. You know, there's just these moments where you're like, how do you know that?
God is speaking, and he's just mentioning stuff that Job would have no way
exactly,
of knowing
about, which is amazing. It's so cool. So, but this is in Job 9, and the dude is struggling, right? Like, he's, like, wishing he wasn't born, you know? Oh, it's your Bible that I'm seeing. So cool. But...
that was the ghost? Okay.
Yeah. This is verse 32. It says, "He is not a mere mortal like me that I might answer him." He's talking about God, that we might confront each other in court. If only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together. It's like, wait, that is so cool. And then you're like, wait, where have I heard that before? And then you flip over to the New Testament and you find out there are just multiple times where Jesus is referred to as a mediator. And you're like, wait, like in 1 Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." And I was just like, wait, this is so cool that Job has this insight of like, man, I need a savior. I need someone who can be there between me and God. And I think it's just fascinating that that existed thousands of years before Jesus was walking the earth. And it's just pointing to him. And then it stirred my heart about the idea of Jesus as a mediator. And it's so cool because if you think about who he is and his personality and words that describe God in the New Testament, like ways that he is described, you know, like you think about God being in I guess it's 1 John where he's called love. It just says God is love. But then you think about what is love? Okay, what does Paul describe love as? And then you put all those things together and you think about, okay, if God is love and he's a mediator and Jesus is a mediator, what must he be like as a mediator, as someone who's standing up for me? You're like, that is so cool. He does it with patience and kindness and he doesn't boast. He doesn't think the worst. It's just like, man, that is awesome to describe him as that. I loved it. I loved that Job had this foresight and insight into things that were to come. And I don't know if that was, I don't know if he had that. I don't know if this was like, I know this is coming and this is me as a prophet laying some little, you know, laying some little pebbles of a foundation right here for this, or if it was just something he was dreaming of. I don't know, but it did hit me this week. And I thought it was so encouraging and sweet that a man who's in the middle of struggling and at certain times refusing to question God about, you know, you're refusing to say like, why would God do this to me? He's just saying like, this is what's happening. I'm going through it. I wish I wasn't born, honestly. But I do, like, there's something I need. I need a savior. I need a savior to help me. There's nothing else I can do. And I just thought it was so fascinating. It's so cool to see that. It's so cool that the Lord put that in there. I love that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, how do you know what you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't stop here. There are a few more moments like that in the book of Job, which if you've never read it before, is just a fascinating and super duper interesting story setup. Like this, it's this devastating thing happens to this dude, and it's all because it, in some ways, like God and Satan have a bet.
Mm-hmm.
And God singles this one dude out and he says, let's figure it out right here. Let's test the theory in this guy's life. And Job doesn't even know that's happening. Doesn't even know that the Lord and the enemy are having this whole debate, but in the midst of all the things he doesn't know, somehow he, like, there's a point in this book where he says, like, I know that my Redeemer lives and that one day he's going to stand on the earth and I'm going to see his face with my own eyes. Yeah. And you're like, he's talking about a Redeemer. He's talking about the incarnation. He's talking about the resurrection of Job's own body. Like, how did he put all those? It's almost like he's like, without the New Testament, without the Old Testament, without the covenant with Abraham and the law of Moses, he's just looking at the human situation, his own sinful heart, and a God who loves, and he's like putting all these things together of like, God has to do something for me. Mm. Otherwise, we can't have a relationship. And so somehow I just believe it's going to happen. Like, I don't even know. Like, how does this dude do this? It's amazing. Mm. Maybe, like you're saying, he's a prophet and it's just a glimpse from the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's just looking so deeply and honestly at his own human situation, and he's just like, this is the thing that has to happen. Mm. I'm gonna have to have a mediator. I'm gonna have to have a redeemer. He's gonna have to come down to this planet, and I'm gonna have to see him for myself. It's like, that is so deep and so cool.
Yeah, it's such a cool, it's definitely worth spending time in, because it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see someone suffer, I guess. It's funny, I was trying to draw parallels between my life and Job, and it's like, well,
yeah,
you know, you're not covered in boils all over your body and, like, sitting in an ash heap, just, you know, like, that is not happening. And honestly, at one point, you're not really suffering.
He's like taking shards of broken pottery and he's scratching the sores on him.
Yeah, to
like
it's, get so relief. It's so gross. So horrible.
But that's also after he's lost all of his children and all of his property and
everything.
All of his everything.
Everything's gone. Like, I have no parallels between.
No.
except for the fact that Satan does punk me all the time. He doesn't make sure. He doesn't give me boils on my skin, and he hasn't. You know, there's other things he has not done in my life, but I do have an enemy who's fighting at me, and Job does it so well. You know, I'm like, gosh, you're doing this so well. I am not suffering. I'm sitting in my air-conditioned home right now with, you know, my built-in breakfast nook that my brother-in-law did for me. And
it's a nice nook.
It's a nice nook. But I'm like, gosh. And I'm about to go to work, and I'm about to get paid. And I don't love my job, but I'm going to go do it. And I can't really draw parallels between me and Job. It just doesn't work. Except that I do have an enemy who's tempting me all the time and poking me and... it's fascinating because it helps me. It helps me to think like, okay, Job did this and he did it pretty well. Let's do this today. Let's not blame God for what's going on in your life. Let's not get pissed at him if you get in an argument today at work or if you get yelled at. You know, like, there's all those are the parallels I'm trying to make. Like, at my job, how am I not going to get upset with God about something? You know, it is not near the same of what Job's going through. But what Job went through super is helping me, which is really cool.
It is awesome.
I hope no one hears that and is like, shut up, Thomas. You're not, I'm not trying to draw my, I'm not trying to compare myself to Job in any way, because it just does not exist.
Well, we already established the fact that your mom doesn't listen to this podcast, and she might be the only one who would tell you to suck it up. And
that's true. She would tell me to. That's fine.
That's good. Well, I'm glad you got your voice back.
What if we find out she listens?
Oh, dude, we are so hosed if she listens.
Yeah, we have to quit the show. We could be our last episode. Is she ready?
But the thing is not only would we be in trouble and we would have to quit the show, but she would also make us like a huge tray of really delicious cookies.
I probably wouldn't be allowed to hang out with you anymore. She'd ban you from my friends.
And give us both cookies.
Yeah, somehow.
Can your mom ban me from being your friend at your age?
Have you met my mom? Probably. She'll assert her will into this situation. It's amazing.
Oh gosh. Well, guys, thanks for checking on us last week. We're sorry that we didn't get to make a show. And as long as Thomas has a voice and we can do this, we're gonna keep rolling.
You're gonna lose your voice soon. It's gonna happen.
I'm gonna lose my voice.
Yeah, I just feel guilty that we.
Is this
didn't
a prophecy?
It's a prophecy. Tom lost his. He's like, I wonder where I lost it from, man. I was like, what? I don't think I can pass you that.
He did sound like Barry White, though. His voice was in the basement, dude. It was in the basement of the basement.
It's funny. He's like, I just randomly lost my voice. Do you know why I would possibly do that? And I was like, I don't know.
Just passive aggressive at you.
It was funny.
That's amazing. Well, until next week, if we both have voices, I am Lee.
And I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
When I needed rescue out of deep, deep waters, there you were. When I called out to you after running farther, there you were. You're in front of me, you're behind me. No matter how far I fall, you're underneath. You wanted me, you chased after me. You're changing who I thought I could be. You're changing who I thought I could be.